So I have Dan Galante on the board and Tom Danheiser running the show. I better bring my A game. I'm in for George Norrie on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett, and I'll be on tomorrow night. Two great guests. Tell you more about that in just a minute. Open lines tonight. Before I go any further, Jay the Wonder Elf asks, please do your old standard Tasty Canadians opening tonight. Miss it so. Well, Jay, got to keep those elves working. So aloha and mahalo to our Hawaiian brothers and sisters. Yo, dudes and dudettes on the West Coast. Hey, yous guys on the East. A nostalgic hi, y'all, to my kin in Dixie. And a hearty boy howdy to all the lonesome cowboys and cowgirls of America's Southwest and all the way up to the North Coast. And everywhere in between, we just say hi, guys, including Canada. We say hello, you tasty Canadians, and to those hostile, invading alien armies hovering silently behind your cloaking devices just outside of Earth's atmosphere. Remember, eat the Canadians first and buy time for the rest of us. You know, it is that kind of a night tonight. It's almost like an all-request night for Coast to Coast. Whenever we're doing open lines, you're pretty much driving the train. So we'll get to the open lines coming up. We've got a special guest first. Michelle Whitedove is $100,000 richer. She has just been proclaimed the world's best psychic in a new television show. I didn't even know about this competition. But she just won $100,000. She was on Coast to Coast many, many years ago, and she'll tell her story coming up. Michelle Whitedove will join us in just a few minutes, do a little crypto news, some quick email, too. And I'll just tell you, I'm looking forward to tonight's show. Haven't done a whole show of open lines in I don't know how long. And so we'll do the full 3 hours, I think, of open lines, unless Michelle and I get going on something and we can't stop. But by and large, that'll be your turn coming up. So this is your chance. What's that intriguing story you've been dying to share with somebody, that scintillating news tidbit that only you know that hasn't made it into the mainstream press? Open lines will take us anywhere you want to go. We'll get to that coming up next hour. We'll do a little crypto news, too, in just a minute. Unicorns in the woods, fearless mice, and the mystery of the Aurora Borealis resolved next on Coast to Coast AM. In for George Norrie, this is Ian Punnett. Again, since it's open lines, you all will be driving the show tonight. Looking forward to hearing where you're going to take us coming up next hour on Coast to Coast AM. A little crypto news to consider in the meantime. In the New York Times, did you see this story? A window washing platform gave way last Friday. Two brothers preparing to clean the black glass skin of an apartment building on the Upper East Side of New York fell 47 floors. One survived, one didn't, although the one that survived is badly injured. But they're just still trying to figure out how that could happen, that two people could fall from that distance and have anybody survive. Officials and window washing colleagues of the two brothers speculated that they had tried to ride their platform to the ground. As one window washer said he'd been trained to do in such an emergency. I'm kind of thinking like Silver Surfer practically, right? Trying to stay on top of the platform. If so, they were relying on basic physics, writes the New York Times. The platform would have generated some small amount of wind resistance, slowing the fall and increasing the luck. Unfortunately, again, one didn't survive. But fortunately, if there is to be any luck found, one was with the brother who survived. He was conscious and sitting up after firefighters arrived. He was on top of what was left of the platform that they were working on. The brother who was killed may have been thrown off of the platform as it hurtled to earth. The official, who did not want to be identified because he was not authorized to speak about the investigation, said part of his body was found under the platform. I don't want to say part of his body. I didn't know whether they were implying that his other part was somewhere else. But it's sad that one didn't survive. But it reminds me of that story in ABC News earlier in the week. Did you see those fly suits they're working on, where people who are daredevils jumping out of planes are doing it essentially without parachutes, and they have these suits that turn the human body into something akin to a flying squirrel, and they just fly and do loop-de-loops and barrel rolls and everything with this flying suit on. It was pretty amazing. They still don't have the landing part worked out. And that was the one part of the story that was a little tricky. They do use a little parachute at the very end just to break the fall just before they hit the ground. But they're trying to find a way to do it without even using that. It was incredible, but it's just one of the many amazing stories of 2007. Looking back, Lauren Coleman put together the top 10 Bigfoot stories of 2007. Did a Bigfoot show a couple of Saturday nights ago. If you want to take a look at that, you can link up to Lauren Coleman's website at coasttocoastam.com. Roaming Somewhere in the Woods, speaking of cryptozoology, although it's not really, is a unicorn deer captured on a motion-sensitive camera, kind of the same thing they use to try to catch images of Bigfoot. This adult deer appears to have a long antler sticking out of its head between its eyes. It looks like a unicorn deer, said Dave Ebling, the hunter photographer who caught the deer on camera back in October. You know, for anybody who lives in deer country like I do, I mean, we have more deer here. I mean, we have so many deer in Minnesota where I live, that literally they're like pigeons in New York or rats in a major metropolitan area. They are everywhere. We have, and I'm not kidding when I say this, I have deer that go up and down our alleys. And they tip over garbage cans and go rooting around for food. You can pull into an alley sometimes and you can see a buck standing at the front of the alley, guarding the rest of the alley for, say, I don't know, a dozen or so does and fawns that are in the alley going through the garbage cans. And the buck just stands there, not letting you get in to your driving space. I'm not making that up either. And so if anybody's lived around them knows this could be dangerous. 'Cause I mean, ever seen one of those hunters that gets tossed like where they're hunting and then the buck will jump from behind and they'll throw them up on their antlers and stuff. And man, if you're getting bucked from a buck from behind and they've only got one unicorn horn in the middle of their head, that could be dangerous. A Tokyo University professor has just unveiled mutant mice that have lost their innate fear of cats. Rather than flee or freeze when confronted with cats, these mice sniffed and even played with them, blissfully unaware of the potential dangers. Sounds like that parasite we were talking about a couple of years ago on Coast to Coast, right? The one that that many humans carry, but when it gets into mice, it makes them fearless of cats and then makes them be eaten by cats, and then the cats have the parasite. The professor developed the fearless mice by shutting down receptors in their noses, essentially, or the olfactory part of their brain that process information about smells, which would normally induce a panic attack in the mouse as soon as they so much as got a whiff of a cat, but now they won't. You can find out more about that at Coast to Coast AM. I think that's really cool. Now, you know, whatever team is facing the New England Patriots coming up in the Super Bowl is going to need that. San Francisco. So, story in the Associated Press, scientists think they have discovered the energy source of Aurora Borealis, the spectacular color displays seen in the upper latitudes of the Northern Hemisphere. I see them a couple of times a year. They're beautiful. Have you ever seen an Aurora Borealis? You'll never forget it. New data from NASA's Themis mission, a quintet of satellites launched this winter, found that the energy source comes from a stream of charged particles from the sun flowing like a current through twisted bundles of magnetic fields connecting Earth's upper atmosphere to the sun. Sounds complicated. It isn't. Very interesting. You can find more online on that. And it replaces the previous theory of the source of the Aurora Borealis. That would be moose gas. So at least now we can eliminate that. Package delivery companies like UPS have taken a hit in the last couple of years as a result of rising fuel costs. Did you see this story earlier in the week? The brown trucks of UPS are going to be getting their routes optimized to help save money. UPS delivers over 14.5 million packages a day, and the trucks tend to have routes that are rarely the same. The company have been using a package flow technology to optimize the loading of packages so drivers can get them out in order more quickly, reducing the idle time. They also set up the daily routes to favor right-hand turns, wherever possible, that they may do their entire deliveries just using right-hand turns. This, again, is to reduce the running time of engines, and the less time that trucks spend sitting in left turn lanes, the less fuel they burn. UPS is projecting a savings of $600 million a year from the changes. Isn't that amazing? Just think how much money they could save at UPS on their health care costs on Prozac alone if they didn't make the drivers wear those brown shorts. By the way, speaking of Prozac, last week's guest on Coast to Coast AM on Saturday night, Dr. Ann Blake Tracy, is, you know, quite the controversial character. I think we'd probably get a lot more email about her than we did any of the other guests, including Dean Koontz, who we had on last Saturday. If you missed it, go back and listen to Dean Koontz, especially, though, in the replay. It really was enjoyable. And if there's something that's amazing about Coast to Coast every time we do it, it's that your calls are great, and you really help make the show. Looking forward to that coming up tonight on Open Lines. Hi, Ian. I'm looking forward to doing the show with you coming up December 22nd, writes Gary Patterson. He's our rock and roll mysteries guy, as you know, and he's coming back on with Bill Harry. Bill Harry will join us then next Saturday night with Gary Patterson. He was one of John Lennon's oldest and dearest friends. Bill introduced John Lennon to Stu Sutcliffe, the original bass player for the Beatles, helped make the Beatles the Liverpool Art College Band. That is, until the Beatles, quote-unquote, borrowed the Liverpool Art College school PA system, borrowed it, and took it to Germany with them to perform in Hamburg. Bill also worked as a publicist for bands like Free, Pink Floyd, and Led Zeppelin. And we'll be talking about rock and roll mysteries a week from this Saturday night with Bill Harry and Gary Patterson. He says, I know you're going to have a blast with them. He goes on to say, though, that Bill Harry is promoting the Liverpool Festival in January, where many of the British Invasion bands will perform together. That includes two fellows by the name of Ringo and Paul, writes Gary Patterson. I believe Bill just may be able to help us arrange an interview with Sir Paul if things go well. Cross your fingers. How cool would that be? Paul McCartney on Coast to Coast AM. Anyways, I always look forward to doing shows with you. Take care, my friend. The best, Gary Patterson. And to you, too, and Merry Christmas. Same message comes from Captain Kelly. We've enjoyed our contact with Captain Kelly over the years. He writes, ahoy, shipmate. Well, the tanker job fell through, so I got a call to work at Dredge out of Balboa, for a couple of months. Should be a cool gig. I've never worked a dredge before. It's a nice size, 380 feet. So Captain Kelly's going to be down there. Anyway, my friend, I wish you and yours a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And he said I should have email access down there. I'll let you know, he'll let us know if there's anything mysterious that's happening in the Gulf, which is always cool. So thank you, Captain Kelly. I look forward to hearing from you. And by the way, Captain Kelly, on your way down to Panama, only right-hand turns. See if you can do that using only right-hand turns. I tried doing that when I read the story earlier in the week about the UPS bus drivers. I tried for a whole day just to try to get where I was going using only right-hand turns. It took me forever. I used 9 times as much gas getting where I was going. All right, so a lot of people have been emailing me this. So I'm just going to address it, get it out of the way. Maybe George did it last night, too. I don't know. But if I got one of these, I got 100 of them. Emails about Mitt Romney buying Clear Channel. And I will read to you the email that's going around the net. What would it cost to buy the support of just about every nationally syndicated neocon talk show host in America? $19.5 billion. That's what Mitt Romney's private equity firm, Bain Capital, and Thomas H. Lee Partners have agreed to pay in a leveraged buyout agreement with Clear Channel Communications, the largest radio station owner in history. Clear Channel owns more than 1,100 full-power AM, FM, and shortwave radio stations, 12 radio channels on XM, more than 30 television stations in the United States, and the Premier Radio Networks, which is the largest syndication company in the United States. It should be noted, the email goes on to say, that Mitt Romney, while no longer the CEO, remains a silent partner of this firm. And the email includes this line: I'll bet those talk show hosts won't reveal the conflict of interest, but it's worth noting when you hear them begin hyping Romney, which is already begun. Wow. Didn't even know. So can I just say, speaking for all Clear Channel radio hosts, I just want to say that there is no truth to the rumor that Mitt Romney's upcoming ownership of Premier Radio Networks will have any effect on this broadcast. In fact, I was telling my three wives last night as we were sewing American flags. Oh, wait, sorry. He's one of the good Mormons. He's not one of the, I forgot. I'm just kidding. I meant to say, I was telling, as I was sewing American flags last night with my wife and my girlfriend that, no, wait, sorry, that's Giuliani. I'll get this straightened out. I promise. It's been a weird week for politics, hasn't it? I've been following all of the Mike Huckabee stories, too, and the fact that he will not release his sermons. I think that's odd. I don't know if it's true. It's only been reported by one source, but it's kind of an intriguing idea that here's a pastor who's been preaching for years that becomes governor of a state like Arkansas, and now he's putting the clamp down on his sermons, which at one point anybody would, you know, hand out to their, you know, to the people that ask in the congregation. I preached a couple of weeks ago, and that was, you know, that was a couple of people asked for the sermon afterward, and I supplied it. Wouldn't even think about that. Wouldn't think that I would have something to hide by handing out a sermon. I hope Governor Huckabee reconsiders that tact. I think that's a bad idea. I don't know that it's going to hurt him terribly in the polls. But I just know, you know, as somebody like myself who goes to Tabernacle all the time. Oh, wait, there's one of those Mitt Romney changes, by the way. Yeah, from now on, we'll be referring to church only as Tabernacle. It's a subtle change. I don't think you'd notice. But no, and then there's the whole thing earlier, too, this week with Hillary Clinton saying, getting on the drug case with Barack Obama, implying drug usage and trying to invalidate his run for the office. Wasn't that the thing that Republicans tried with, you know, President Clinton back in the whole day, back originally? Wasn't that a whole, did she just pull in a page out of that playbook? It didn't work that time. Just think it's going to work any differently with Barack Obama? And he admitted he did cocaine. He just said, you know, that he sniffed it, but he didn't inhale. I don't even know what that means. I don't even know how you can do that, but he's sticking with it. It worked for Bill Clinton. And thank you, everybody, too, who had emailed in this story. We were covering the story of the shootings last week, both the story of the Omaha, Nebraska shooting, and then, of course, many of you have been commenting about the double shooting that took place on Saturday, the tragic loss of life of several people in Colorado. And I want to add a little bit to the story, and I'm going to kind of do this as a tribute to George Noory. Jean Assam is the woman who is the parishioner at the church in the Denver area where where this guy went on a rampage and continued to shoot. He shot two girls who were sitting in a van, shot their father, and then was coming into the church when Jean Assam, who goes to church there in the mornings and then provides private security in the evenings at the church, was at the ready with a pistol, was able to stop him. We later learned that the shooter took his own life. You may have heard that she was described as having a background in law enforcement, but they never identified what police department she worked for. Right. I mean, I never heard what police department she works for in Colorado. I do know what happened to her, though, in Minnesota. And this is the part where it becomes kind of a tribute to George Noory, is that here in Minnesota, Jean Assam was let go from the Minneapolis police department. She was being investigated with some other cadets, former cadets at the police academy, for not being entirely truthful on her application to the police department. And during the course of that investigation, somebody found a videotape of her nutting up on a bus driver, where as a police officer, she just went off on this bus driver and she was screaming at the bus driver. And somebody caught it on videotape. It ended up costing her job here in Minneapolis. And we just got to thinking about it. If it hadn't been for the fact that she was let go from the Minneapolis Police Department for not being truthful and for having this other issue, if it hadn't been for that reporter that had aired the tape of her going crazy on that bus driver, then she never would have been down in Denver to stop the shooter going into the church. It's one of those things that just lets you know sometimes, as George always says, there are no coincidences. And glad she was there to stop the shooter. You know a little bit more about her background now, too, and how remarkable it was that that's how she should end up. Anyway, we'll get to open lines and our guest, Michelle Whitedove, next in Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. And for George Norrie, taking some well-deserved end-of-the-year vacation time, making sure he doesn't lose that. In fact, I'm doing a couple of Friday nights here coming up, and I'm looking forward to open lines later on. And tomorrow night's show, too, on Coast to Coast AM. I hope you have a chance to hear it. These Saturday nights have just been popping. Last Saturday with Dean Koontz, if you remember Streamlink and you haven't heard it yet, go back and grab it or join Streamlink and listen to it. He was just great. I just love that show. Lynn Picknett and Clive Prince will be back on tomorrow night. They are the co-authors of a series of books about the Shroud of Turin, the Priory of Sion. They're a very interesting couple, not romantically, but just, research-wise. And we'll ask them about their latest research since the Sion revelation. I think the last time we had them on was back in 2006, like February of 2006, and they were hinting at a new work to come. So we look forward to knowing more about that. A.J. Jacobs will be our first hour guest tomorrow night. He is the author of the book, The Year of Living Biblically. Did you hear about this? One man's humble quest to follow the Bible as literally as possible for 1 year. And he's also the author of the book, The Know-It-All, which he spent an entire year reading the Encyclopedia Britannica in a quest to become the smartest person in the world. He's a very interesting guy. He's a writer, he's an editor, and tomorrow night we'll have him on for the first hour. You really got to hear the story, of how he tried to do everything it told him in the Bible to do, including stoning adulterers. Listening in the first hour will be worth it just to hear him tell the story of how he tried to stone adulterers tomorrow night on Coast to Coast AM. And it has been since 2002 that Michelle Whitedove has been on Coast to Coast. And we'll tell you more about this woman who was a world-class medium when she first was on the show. This was long before she was just recently named Lifetime Television's number one psychic in America. More on that and her story and some of her predictions for this upcoming year, too, on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Well, I heard a little bit about your story, Michelle Whitedove, but I have to say, with all the writers on strike, I haven't been watching very much television this fall, so I missed the Lifetime's America's number one psychic. But congratulations, I heard you won a ton of cash.
Thank you. To be quite frank, when I took the show, we knew nothing about the money. That was just a bonus.
Okay. $100,000 bonus is a nice bonus.
It's a very nice bonus. Yes, indeed.
Okay. And you got to be doing pretty well if you didn't even notice an offer of $100,000. If $100,000 doesn't even get on your radar, you must be doing pretty well already.
Well, they, everything's top secret. They were so afraid that they were moving us around, meaning the different psychics, and keeping us away from the tests. And when I tell you that it was a challenge, it really was quite a challenge, from finding people that were 5 feet buried under the ground in like 10 acres, finding a boy in 17 acres, hiding, working cold cases, old murder cases that were solved. They had us doing some crazy stuff.
Well, I think that's very interesting because that's always kind of my rub with psychics. I've not had a good history with radio psychicry because there's somehow the people who come on and are highly touted and they have lots of tremendous claims and successes, whenever I actually have them on the radio, they can't really do any of that stuff. So
I understand.
I'm glad to hear, though, that they put you to the test.
Oh,
and they had this all on videotape then, huh?
Oh, yes. They had judges there, attorneys there, police there. I mean, they made sure, they took every measure to make sure that this show was not rigged and that it didn't come off, and they truly tested us. And I was really even kind of shocked at some of the things. I was waiting for them to say, okay, the next test is please levitate.
Yeah, really.
You know, because they each round that you would, go into the next round, rather, it would just get more challenging. And I thought to myself, well, how much more challenging can it get? Because there's eight episodes, and I was in four out of the eight. I was in the third episode, sixth, seventh, and eighth. Then third episode, my first challenge, which I did know, I was in prayer and meditation, was finding a live body in a trunk in there was 30 cars in a car lot. And you had 30 minutes to do it, and you had to nail it. And if you nailed it, you got 25 points, and it was based on a point system.
And so you nailed it.
I nailed it, actually less than 4 minutes.
And you went right to the trunk that had the body in it.
That is correct.
Okay, that's pretty amazing because, I mean, I've seen a lot, I've talked to a lot, I've been around a lot of psychics who, they need a few tries, they need a few stabs, and there's always these excuses, and pardon me, I'm not saying that you're...
Oh, no, I'm with you.
But, I mean, there's always something about how something I was doing wrong,
yeah.
My energy was wrong, and it threw off theirs, and all
yeah,
this other
that's
stuff.
A so, bunch of, you know...
Money. Well, how did you do it then? tell me, how did you do that? How did you go from...
I'll tell you how I did it.
Yeah.
I was sitting in the one of the cars, because they kept moving us around. I never seen so many Starbucks in California in my life. And... how I did it was I simply went into prayer and meditation. That's all I work with besides photos. And when I work with photos, that's in my private sessions, and that's not based on how pretty a person is or maybe not. It's to read their aura, their electric magnetic field that tells their story. But I didn't even have that to work with, only prayer and meditation. So I was in prayer and meditation, and they said, all right, they're about to take you to a car lot, and it's a red car. And you're going to find a body, and that's what you're going to do. And I said, okay, find the body in the red car, got it. And so as soon as I hit the mark, and they literally said, all right, get out, literally. They kind of throw you out, and I'm all dressed up in the highest heels. I make my mark, and I say to the host, which was, he was very lovely, John Burke. He says, Michelle, do you know where you're here? I said, matter of fact, I do. You want me to find a body in the trunk. Can I go? He's going to die of a heat stroke because it was a heat wave going through California at the time. It was 115 degrees, and we're on, tar. It was not glamorous as people seem to think. But long story short, I just went right for it, and then they went, cut, read her the rules. We have no footage, Michelle. So they made me reenact, the excitement and
finding him. Wait, what do you mean they made you reenact it? See, that's where I start getting suspicious. What do you mean?
No, not suspicious at all, because I had already nailed it. But because I went directly to it, I mean, I just went right to the car and said, here it is.
And they're like,
can we get you walking? I mean, because I wasn't walking. I was like almost running. I was like going very, very, very fast. The camera guys couldn't keep up with me.
I understand. So what's the mechanism, though, from when they push you out of this moving car and you're there?
Well, they don't tell you anything, yeah.
They don't tell you anything. But, I mean, what's the mental mechanism? What happens? What do you hear? What do you see that leads you directly to the trunk?
Well, it was, it's like as you visualize things in your mind. But for me, I wasn't thinking. You have to understand, this is where I thank my ego for moving over. I'm not even interested in my own opinions, much less anyone else's. And I said, I'd like to get the information directly from the top. Thank you very much, the Godhead, and my guardian angels and spirit guides. And they just kept saying, car lot, body in a trunk, red car, go for the red car. And that's exactly what I did.
And were there a lot of red cars, or there's only one red car?
No, and I actually looked around, and when they said cut, because they had no footage, I said, all right. So I went around to see if there was any other red cars, but, I just kind of stood where I was. I walked by a car that was, like, bright orange, just to make sure it was orange, not red. And that was it.
Okay. So the voices are audible?
No, they're like how you hear your thoughts.
Okay.
It's like you don't think about it. It's the first thing that comes to you. You're not analyzing it. You're not being skeptical. You're not mulling it over. It's just boom, there it is.
That's very interesting. And all right, so what were the other challenges on this America's number one psychic show that you won?
Well, quite a few of them. I mean, obviously, for me to have pulled it off. To be honest with you, I don't even know how I did some of it. I didn't know that I could do some of these things until it was put to the test. We did just about everything from remote viewing, which actually the person was on the Queen Mary, and we were on the telephone, and it was our job, as, psychics, or I refer to myself as a spiritual medium, to identify the place and what he was looking at. Kind of like, what our government did with the remote viewing. They
Right,
used that,
right.
to spy. And so, sure enough, I'm describing a parking lot which he was looking at full of cars. I'm describing the birds he was looking at and that it was water. And I got the name Mary and, just different things like that. And he was quite impressed. It's the first time, actually, that I did anything like that with remote viewing. And that was one. One that I found really difficult, and that was in the final rounds, and there was only two of us left, was a cold case. We worked a cold case. And when they say cold case, that means they are at a dead end. And so they brought two of us in. The other psychic was, she really didn't refer to herself as such, a voodoo priestess, and myself, and we were brought in to work the cold case to actually, we were first taken, and we're not told anything. We're really just dropped off. And then the host meets us and says, okay, you have this amount of time. All right, start talking. What do you get? And I picked up more on the female, but it was a couple that was, kidnapped and murdered. And as I said, the police were basically at a dead end. So the family was very anxious to have closure. So that was part of it. They took us to the actual location to see if we could pick up on it. And we did. And then we were taken, this was done in like three steps, where the car of the couple, but no information was given to us. All we got was a dirty car, and we were, okay, here's the car, tell us what you get. And so immediately, I just go into prayer meditation, and as I'm hearing it and seeing it and feeling it, knowing it, I'm just, giving them the information. And then the third part of it was going in and speaking to the family, but you're not allowed to ask any questions. You're not, it's just, I had at that time actually a photo to work with, some jewelry, and they wanted, to hold that these objects to get the energy off there, so to bring more information to the table. And then after that, they actually called me in to personally speak with the detective, or the chief, I should say, of the police department there in California to give him any leads, which I did. And he said, well, this fits exactly what we were thinking, our suspicions, and gave him a name, told him it was his partner, told him it was a hit, things like that. And it was helpful. It was helpful to the family as well as to the police department. I do work murder cases, but I will not take any money for them.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. And how, what is your accuracy rate? We've talked to a lot of other psychics over the
I
years.
know this is going to sound pompous, and I really
If
don't
you
want
say
to sound
100%,
pompous.
I'm going to call you a total liar. If you're going to say 100%.
No, I would never say 100%.
Okay, good. All right.
Are you kidding me? I'm not an all-knowing
All right.
mortal.
All right.
Anyone that
Well,
tells you, anyone that says that,
okay.
the BS detector comes
Right. Exactly. Thank you.
out. To be honest with you, I'm very consistent and very accurate, and I have many testimonials of that. I'm in about 98% range, to be quite
Okay.
frank.
Now that's even higher though than I would have said was possible. I mean,
But, okay. You know, this is years of doing it and refining it.
But here's why. Here's why I say that. If you're 98% accurate, why shouldn't there only be 2% left cases unsolved in America?
Well, I don't work every case, and you have to know that that's just part of what I do.
I understand.
Right.
But I mean,
and I do it for charity, and I really try to target mostly children, to be honest with you. That's where I have a great affinity. That's where my heart goes. I actually do spiritual counseling with children and try to get them off the drugs and, like, the children that are diagnosed ADD or ADHD and, you know, Ritalin, which is what they give them, or variations of that,
right.
When a lot of these children are actually extremely gifted, and I'm kind of like the last stop, but yet I'm able to turn their whole lives around and get them off the medication and get them in the proper schools and such. And I also work as a medical intuitive, which I get a lot of, that's like really rewarding for me, fulfilling, because if you can save someone's life or spare them pain or their family and nip it in the bud, as I say, before it's cancer, you know, then that's one of my favorites.
Well, then if you're in tune with children, then we've all heard the story of Madeline McCann, the girl that disappeared in Portugal. Are you picking up from your spirit guides anything about Madeline McCann?
No, I actually just I have all my cases here. Well, some recent cases. Madeline, yes, that's the one that they have quite a large sum of money, is it?
Well, the family, I don't know about the large sum of money. I know that the family was
I'm
on vacation.
I'm pulling up my big cases here. I've done so many. I'm now looking at the Peterson case. Okay, hold on.
Well, I'll ask you about that then, too. But
and then I'm looking at the, which I've been written up, that's a little boy that I helped the police find, but unfortunately they didn't get him. Lisa Steibeck, hold on. And then, Madeline. Well, okay, Madeline McCann. Is that who you're talking about?
Madeline McCann, I thought, but yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Thank you for correcting me. You are correct. Yes, I have gotten some insight in that case. That case, I really didn't want to go for that case, I'll be honest with you. But there's been so much around it that I actually blogged on it, and this is up on my blog. First of all, the parents are at playing dumb, and the mother knows something. I feel that this is an inside case. And because everyone started raising funds, it was like basically it was set up and by the mother, and I believe the father knows as well, to make it look like, okay, she was gone, get them, let's raise funds, and then they would, you know, have someone that was inside to get the funds for her, and then it just all went, you know, it fell apart. This particular case, I have not done a lot of work on, but I will say that, I'm looking at the little girl now. She still is alive. A lot of people think that she's dead, but I believe that she's still alive.
Well, why can you isolate if you can? I mean, I'm not trying to be contrary, why can't you just say, well, here's where she is, and she's standing next to
I believe she was taken to Mexico, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I believe that they left the country, not at first, but when everything started getting so heated, and also the lady that wrote the Harry Potter books, she threw in millions. I mean, it just got totally out of control.
Who's the they?
They, meaning that it was an inside job, and it was done, and I believe that the mother, I actually watched her on television, and she doesn't like to raise her eyes, and I just said, you know, there's something really fishy about it, and that's what actually got my interest. Just here recently, because many people have said, come on, Michelle, there's a big reward. But as I said, I don't take money for cases. I just look at it as blood money, and this is my way of giving back. So I don't have a whole lot there for you, but I do feel that they have taken her, not initially, but at this point, to Mexico. And getting her back, that's yet to be seen. She is still living, and the parents, I believe, are trying to finagle their way how they're going to get out of this now when it's just really taken off.
Okay. Well, hang on to that thought. We'll come back. I'll ask you about the Stacey Peterson case then, too. This is the Chicago cop's 23-year-old wife who's been missing. Is she dead? We'll ask Michelle Whitedove, named by Lifetime Television as America's number one psychic after a grueling essential audition for that, you know, a competition which led to a $100,000 prize. And then I'll push off open lines here for just a few minutes. We'll get back to it. I promise you we will. And I look forward to that. But I have some other questions, too, for Michelle Whitedove. And then we'll get to open lines by the bottom of the hour. And we'll do that for the rest of the night. Plenty of time for everybody to get in on it. I'm in for George Norrie, so he can use up his vacation days. And I hope he's going to enjoy a nice longer weekend. This is Ian Punnett on Coast to Coast AM.